Welcome to Theology Thursday, an ecumenical space for students to discuss matters of faith and theology.
I'm your host, Connor Grubbs.
I am your co-host, Ryan Mock.
And I'm your co-co-host, Johnny Grubbs.
Well, it's good to be back, guys. You know, we actually recorded ahead for this show a good bit because I had a knee surgery that has a pretty extensive recovery.
Yeah, if you're in studio right now, he has some pretty gnarly scars.
It was, I'm going to have those forever.
And now Connor is a robot.
Yeah, I have metal in my knee. It was an MPFL reconstruction, for those of you who are into that kind of stuff. There's videos of it on YouTube if you want to watch metal bars get drilled into people's bones.
So this means that when the robots take over years from now, they may show grace on you.
Yeah.
You might be our inside man.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like they'll treat me the way the Ewoks treated C-3PO.
You could win their trust and help us in the rebellion, but then maybe you actually, like, sympathize with them too much. And then
I feel like that would be really great. So anyway, we had several episodes recorded. This is the first time in like probably 4 or 5 weeks that we've gathered together to record.
Right.
Which is exciting. It's good to be back. It really is. I've missed this.
Yeah. Yeah, we've all been busy and you've been recovering, but it's good to be back.
Yeah, a lot's been happening. You picked up 2 new jobs, actually.
That's right, yeah.
Since last time we recorded.
That's right, yeah. I technically work 3 jobs now because I'm the youth director at Tradewinds, and then I work one job during the day, and then I deliver pizzas at night. So that's 3 jobs, and I'm a full-time student. I'm taking 5 classes. So yep. It's awful. It's a lot of work, but it's fun. I enjoy it.
And Johnny's baby and my niece, Zoe, turned 1.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
They have the same birthday?
No, it's okay. I mean, that's great. I mean,
his daughter and my niece do have the same birthday.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's good for sharing birthdays.
They're the same person. Just in case.
I've on the show before. And we both have the same last name, so.
Pretty obvious. She turned 1. It was an exciting experience. We had like a party, a Toy Story party.
Yeah.
We made way too much Jell-O.
You did.
Wait, did you have a Toy Story party for Zoe or for yourself?
That's a good question.
Zoe really? Does she like?
The jury's still out on that one. Here's the thing. We were like, do we want to do a themed party? We know she's not going to remember it, but like it'd be fun for pictures.
And you would remember it.
We would remember it. We're probably just going to do like tame little things with our family from now on and not do that again. But it was fun. It was still fun.
Yeah.
it was a lot of work for not a lot of reward.
Right. Well, I will say this, and I say this a lot, but Toy Story 4 was a great movie.
I was really
shocked by that because I didn't think it needed a fourth one.
Absolutely.
And it didn't. It could have ended at 3 and been perfect trilogy. But then this wonderful surprise came in. And it was just, you know.
It's good. I like Forky.
Good movie. Yeah. Great movie all around.
Well, you know, and Connor's actually related to Woody now because Woody's made out of wood or plastic. I don't know. He's probably made out of plastic. And you're made out of metal now. So there's some kind of relationship.
Not really.
These two.
I mean, makes absolutely no sense.
You have like a spiritual connection.
I feel like there's
spiritual connection. So they're first, there's like, never mind. I don't know.
All right. So moving on. For our sub point this week, we're going to talk about the Area 51 raid. This was an actual thing.
Right. So a few months ago, this meme just like appeared. Like this dude put out a Facebook event that we were going to raid Area 51. And the reasoning was that if so many of us do it, then who could stop us?
Especially if we're Naruto running.
Right. Naruto running is very effective.
Naruto. Google it.
And so millions of people signed up for the event because it's funny.
I signed up.
I signed up as well, I think.
I didn't want the government tracking me, so I didn't sign up.
Well, I mean, I joined the Facebook group. I didn't give any information.
So the date was for September 20th.
Yeah.
Which is also my daughter's birthday.
That's great.
That's the day of her birth.
You should have had an Area 51 themed party.
Right, yeah.
I know, we missed that opportunity.
And then when she grows up, she could tell all of her friends that she had the same birthday as the Area 51 raid.
Yeah, and so wait, but here's the fascinating part. I mean, look, I spent my whole recovery looking at Area 51 memes. That's what got me.
Area 51 memes are so funny.
They're hilarious, and And believe me, they do get old after a while when you're stuck in bed for 4 weeks with nothing else to do. I mean, I'm so glad to be back to work. I'm only 3 days in, but it's wonderful. But these Area 51 memes gave me hope, and they gave me life when I was in pain. And then what made it better, the cherry on top, is that people actually showed up.
Yeah,
now, it wasn't the same amount of people.
There's not 3 million people at Area 51.
No.
There's about 100 people.
Yeah. But that's still hilarious to me, that anybody showed up.
But, you know, it went down exactly how it went. It would, exactly how I thought it would go down. They just kind of stood around.
Yeah.
And they actually talked to the guards. They were laughing and joking with the guards there. There's a few YouTube videos up of them just, like, chit-chatting. There's one video of this old lady actually going underneath the gate and just starts walking. And the sheriffs are not part of Area 51, so that even like the sheriffs and law enforcement are not allowed to cross. So everybody just watches her start walking, and then that's where the video ends. But obviously she's not going to make it to Area 51
right.
because the gate is like miles there. And miles away from the actual base. But.
Or she's an alien, and that was them secretly letting her back in.
That's another possibility.
Maybe this whole thing was actually an alien escaped, and the government wanted to find a way to get the alien back in without making a scene.
Oh my goodness.
And this whole thing was a ploy to do it.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, we figured out the Area 51 raid. No, but actually two people got arrested.
That was like before the actual raid,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was a few weeks ago.
It was, or at least a few days before, some YouTubers like actually tried it, and then they got arrested. Yeah. But the actual day of the event, they went off without any incident,
right.
Except for that lady. I'm sure
she
apprehended.
Had some sort of penalty for that.
Yeah, I can't remember. There was an article attached to it. I can't remember what the discipline was.
If she's older, I bet they were just took her back out.
I think they went easy on her. So not too big of a deal. But yeah, I mean that is kind of fun watching the meme develop and then it actually. Happen.
You know, it's funny, I don't really think too much about Area 51, but, like, obviously these memes made me think about it. And then the government recently released that these UFO videos are real, although they call them something else. And we've seen these videos on YouTube for years, but, like, they declassified them. They're like, yeah, the military did record these objects, we don't know what they were, they're flying around, they can move at speeds and maneuver, and they're just like, yeah, that's the thing that happened. And I'm starting to realize that, like, the explanation seems really simple. All those aircrafts are made and tested in Area 51, and maybe even tested outside of Area 51. And the reason that the other military factions don't know about them is because they're not supposed to know about them.
It's a secret. Right.
Yeah, so I think that those videos, like, of the Navy, or not the Navy, but the Air Force seeing them, was like, what is that? And they're like, oh, we don't know, but they know. You know what I mean? Like, it's other government planes that are way on the inside.
Or maybe it's extraterrestrials.
It's not. It's Area 51 planes.
So do you think that Area 51, do you think they're hiding aliens?
They're hiding aircrafts like that they're building that they don't want people to know about.
So do you think that aliens exist?
I don't know, but I just think that Area 51 is very simple. It's aircraft.
We should have done a different Theology Thursday today. It should have been about if aliens exist, is there salvation for them?
God loves the aliens too.
Well, there's a lot of implications with extraterrestrial life, you know.
Guys, I'm bleeding out of one of my scars.
Well, ew.
It's okay.
Don't touch it.
Is it robot juice?
Yeah, it's robot juice. Anyway, hey, so last episode, and it was last week for our listeners, just not for us.
For us, it was like several weeks ago.
Yeah, it was about a year ago. we finished up our first section of this systematic theology that we're doing for season 3, and it was a section on the Bible. We got into some really good stuff. Now, our next section is a really important person in the Bible. His name is God.
It's not just one person, though.
But he is.
Oh, I see what you did
but
there.
He's not.
Because today's episode is the first episode in the section on God, and we are going to be talking about the Trinity.
Bah.
Now, Ryan, I'm just going to play I don't even want to say that I belong to this person. I'm going to play the enemy's advocate for a minute.
Okay.
And you know, the guy from HE Double Hockey Sticks. So
he doesn't actually. Never mind.
Okay. No. Okay. So you are talking to a Muslim, and they tell you, "I believe in one God. I am a monotheist. You are a polytheist. You believe in three gods.
Oh.
You believe in God the Father, you believe in God the Son, you believe in God the Holy Spirit. That's three gods. That is one of the main, like, that's one of the key issues that, Muslims will start on when it comes to a debate with Christians, is that they believe that Christians are not monotheist, and that is heresy. Which, by the way, Ryan, would that be heresy, true or false?
If
you believed in more than one God.
Yeah, that would be heresy.
Yes.
Polytheism is heretical.
That is one point that we could actually agree on with Muslims. So, they come to you and they say, you believe in three gods, that's why you're a heretic. What do you say?
Well, we as Christians, we don't actually believe in three gods. We believe in one God who is three persons.
Ah, what do we call that?
We call that the Trinity.
The Trinity. It's probably one of the more confusing aspects of theology.
Thankfully, we have pretzels to help us.
That's right. Pretzels and three-leaf clovers.
Yeah, there's a few things we use for analogies to explain the Trinity. And let's just go through them for a second for fun. There's water is one of them. How does that one work?
Right, because it's like there's the gas, like the vapor, fog, or whatever, and then you have the liquid, and then of course the frozen version of it. It's all H2O, but it's different.
Right.
Right. Or the three leaf clover. It's all clover. It's just different leaves on the clover.
Right.
Or the egg. Egg is an egg, but it's got a yolk and a shell and the white.
Can we be honest? These stink.
Yeah, and there's actually major problems with these analogies to describe the Trinity, because, like, for example, you mean you look at ice, or not ice, but just like H2O, like, we believe that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all God, but three distinct persons, they all exist at the same time.
Right.
Right.
But as you know from science, that water and water liquid, ice and gas does not exist at the same time, at the same temperature. Little things like that. Most all of these analogies fall short. And the reality is that the Trinity is ultimately going to be a mystery to us. We can't fully comprehend it.
Well, then why even bother with it? It's so confusing.
Well, that's a great question, Johnny. Why should we care about the Trinity? Why is it important?
Well, and here's one of the interesting things about it. It's I mean, like you were saying, we want to make it very clear that the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. But the Holy Spirit is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father, and the Father is not the Holy Spirit. There's three distinct individual persons,
right,
all one God.
Yeah, that's important. You know, there's heresies that believe that like God the Son is God the Father. There's a heresy that developed in the first few centuries of Christianity that said, you know, because God the Son is also the Father, then therefore God the Father actually died on the cross, which is not true. That's
right.
A heresy.
Yeah.
Wow. Right.
That's cray-cray.
Right.
Cray-cray.
And so you get into Scripture teaches very clearly that there is only one God, and it also talks about God the Father, God the Son, and God
right.
the Holy Ghost. But the word Trinity never appears in Scripture. So how do we know from Scripture? And most Christians would teach that the Trinity is a must. It is
right.
one of those essentials of the faith, right? If you don't believe in the Trinity, you're a heretic.
Right.
So how do we know that this is such a sure thing if the word Trinity never even appears in
right.
Scripture?
Right, yeah, there's verses in the Bible that very clearly let us know that God is one. For example, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. You know, it says, this is a very important verse in the Torah, in the Hebrew Bible. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay, God is one God. Yet, we also know that these various persons of the Trinity, God the Son, Jesus says that he's God. Remember the burning bush that Moses encountered in the wilderness? That burning bush was actually God himself. And when Moses is like, who do I tell the people sent me? And God from the burning bush said, I am who I am. He's basically saying, I am God, I am eternal, and I have authority over everyone. And we know that in the New Testament, Jesus says this very thing. When he's talking to the Pharisees, he's like, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is saying, hey, I'm God. But Connor's right. There's no particular verse that actually uses the word Trinity. And there's no verse that says, you know, Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and the Father is God, and they're all one God, but they're all three distinct persons. There's not really a verse that says that. But what we see in Scripture is we have implications of it.
Right. It's the concept is in Scripture. The reality even is in Scripture. Trinity is just a label or a category we use to describe it.
Right. So 1 Corinthians 8:6 is an example of a verse where Paul says, but to us there is but one God. Mm-hmm. So that's made very clear in Scripture. But there's also a couple places in Scripture where we see all three persons of the Trinity at work at the same time.
Right.
The first example that comes to mind, well, actually, in Genesis, we see the pronoun they when referring to the creation process.
Yes.
So
let us make man in our
right. image. So, and there's this plural pronoun used there. So even right at the beginning of the Bible, there's implications of the Trinity. But in Jesus' ministry, one of the first times we see all three persons at work is his baptism in Matthew 3.
Mm-hmm.
When he's baptized by John, it talks about the Spirit of God descending like a dove upon him and him hearing the Father's voice saying, "This is my Son with whom I'm well pleased." So all three persons at work at the same time. So that's one example in Scripture. And there's another really, really important one. And it would be kind of the events that all of Christianity kind of center around. And that's the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. So the wrath of God the Father is laid upon God the Son. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was raised from the dead. Now, without that happening, and without it working that way, we could not have been saved.
Right.
So there's one big reason why the Trinity is so important.
Right.
If the critical reason, right? All of God was at work in our salvation.
And all of God had to be at work for our salvation because there was no other way. And this is common Christian teaching.
Right.
There's no other way for us to be saved.
Right. And then we were talking about this a little bit before, and I think one of the other big applications that came to me later, that's probably the most obvious one. When you learn about the Trinity, you learn about some of those examples that you mentioned of God at work in all three of his persons. But one of the coolest things that I think I learned later on, I was listening to a theologian speak, and he was talking about the fact that God was sufficient in and of himself, and God is the first community. Now, again, you got to be careful, right? Because he's the one. But at the same time, if God always was and God is triune, that means that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit lived in fellowship with one another without us. They didn't need us. He didn't need us. And so I think that adds a little bit more depth to his love because we assume that God would have been lonely without us. No, he had a family in himself, and that's
right.
Crazy.
And I remember even having like a picture book as a child that explained Adam and Eve and their creation, and basically it talked about how God made everything, but then he'd make something, but then he was lonely.
Right.
And then he made something else, and it was great. Oh, but he was still lonely, and he gets to it all, and then he just, it's this little picture book, you see all the cute little animals in the ocean, and all the different things he makes, and then by the end of it, it's like, well, I want some friends, and so the idea is that he made us so he would have somebody to love, so that he would have a buddy, but he was already in perfect fellowship, and one of the reasons that's so important is because we know that God is unchanging, and that he pre-existed the world because he's eternal.
Yeah.
So how can God be love if he had nobody to love?
Right.
Yeah, that's something that St. Augustine, he makes this argument that God can be love because he's three persons. Because what do you need for there to be love? You need an object, you need a subject, and you need a channel, right? Mm-hmm. And you have that in the Trinity. You have God the Father, the object. God the Father loves perfectly. God the Son is the subject through God the Holy Spirit, right? That's the only way that God can be love. The Bible literally says God is love. And if God is just monistic, which is the word meaning that God is just one person, as opposed to Trinitarian, if God is just one person, he existed before the foundations of the earth, and he was all alone for millions of years. He was just one. How can he love? Connor's absolutely right. In order for God to be love, he has to be three persons.
And again, I just think to me, that concept may be just overwhelmingly aware of the weight of God's love, because he did not need us to be satisfied. And I remember listening to a preacher, and he was preaching so vehemently, he was really powerful, and he was saying that the Son worshiped the Father, and the Father enjoyed the Son, and the Spirit radiated between them, and then God made man, and nothing changed. You know, and his point was, nothing changed in the sense that God was... He was satisfied before man. He was satisfied after man. He didn't. That means that he wanted to invite us in. He willingly chose to invite us into a partnership with him, even though it wasn't necessary.
Right.
And that's huge.
Yeah. And I hope that all of the things that we're talking about help to show, not to necessarily make the Trinity a simpler concept or easier to understand, because it is something that is hard for us in our finite nature to understand. We're talking about an infinite triune God that simply operates outside of the space and time that we operate in. You know, we'll never be able to fully comprehend it in this life. However, hopefully what you're seeing is why it's so important. Why this isn't something you can just throw out.
So, I would love for you to elaborate on the doctrine, the false doctrine about the Trinity, which is modalism, which basically suggests that God exists in these three persons, but at different times and different ways. So it's right. Like God is the Father at one point, and then all of a sudden he's the Son, like a shape-shifting type
yeah.
of...
Yeah. So there have been multiple heresies pop up throughout church history. A lot popped up in the first few centuries of Christianity. That attacked the idea of the Trinity. They didn't like the idea that God is three persons, but one God. And so these heresies developed. One of the major heresies that developed and still exists today is called modalism. As Johnny was saying, basically the idea of modalism is that God exists as one person in different modes. Okay, so they believe in a God the Father, a God the Son, and a God the Holy Spirit, but one can only exist at one time. So
this is much more
say,
palatable, by the way, to our minds. You know?
Sure. They say that in the Old Testament, God was just God the Father. Okay, and he existed, and he did his fatherly thing. You know, some people will say, you know, the God in the Old Testament was a very mean God. So they say God the Father is a very mean God. He's very grouchy. He's very mean to the Israelites. He opened the earth open and swallowed people whole. He burned people with fire. That's the God of the Old Testament. That's God the Father. Then they say, by the time of the New Testament, God changes mode. He changes from the mode of God the Father to the mode of God the Son, who we see as Jesus. So now there's no God the Father anymore. God the Father is gone. He doesn't exist anymore. God only exists as God the Son. So Jesus, he was on this earth for 33 years. He died and he rose again as God the Son. And then when he ascended into heaven and then coming into Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, God changes mode to God the Holy Spirit. So now God the Father is out of the picture. He's been out of the picture. God the Son is now gone. He's out of the picture. God changed mode to God the Holy Spirit. And now, as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and that's God. A good way to think about it, about modalism, is that God puts on different masks. Sometimes he puts on the mask of God the Father. Then he takes off the God the Father mask and puts on the God the Son mask. And then he decides he's done being God the Son. So he takes off the mask and puts on the mask of God the Holy Spirit. It's very weird. And modalists also have reasonings behind like Jesus' baptism, like all three persons of the Trinity existed at one time together. They have explanations for that. It's very bizarre. But people don't call it modalism today because that is not a fun word. But denominations in Christianity have developed from this theology that is actually heretical. A perfect example is the Oneness Pentecostal denomination. Not to be confused with Pentecostals, because Pentecostals are cool and they're Orthodox. We do not hate Pentecostals. We are not saying that Pentecostals are heretical, but we are.
All right, let's just say one more time for the people in the back. There are Orthodox Pentecostals.
That's super important.
We recognize that.
I don't want Pentecostals to think that I hate them.
You scare me, but you're real. No, I'm just kidding.
But what I am talking about is not Pentecostals, but Oneness Pentecostals, which is an offshoot of the Pentecostal movement. These people believe basically in modalism, that God is not Trinitarian. He's not three persons. He is one person putting on different masks. And that is radical. So I would say, you know, people in the Oneness Pentecostal denomination are outside the realms of Orthodoxy, and they may not even know that. There could be honest, genuine Christians who are in these denominations that teach modalism, and they may not even know it, they may not even think about it. And to that, I would say you need to, you know, figure out what the truth is and get your butt out of there. Because being in a church like that that teaches false doctrine like that is very dangerous. And, you know, I would pray for your soul. So I would very especially think about that. What does my church teach about the Trinity? Do they even believe in the Trinity? It's a very important doctrine. It's divided people for thousands of years, but it's a good thing.
Right, for sure. And, I mean, to me, you said that they have explanations for things like the baptism in Matthew 3 or whatever, but, like, and they probably have explanations for this, but I just can't imagine them being sufficient for the fact that there are many, many instances in the Gospels where Jesus speaks directly to the Father.
Yeah.
I don't
John,
see...
John 17, you know, here's a little prayer to God, the Father, you know.
I don't see how there's any way around that. I mean, even on the cross, he cries out to the Father. I mean, he was constantly praying. So who was he praying to?
This is a textbook case of, I don't like it, so I'm going to make it more palatable, even if it's weird, you know? And we talked about this before, many episodes ago, when we were talking, we broached the subject of hell, and one of the things that we concluded is, despite where you land on that, you have to believe that God is allowed to do what he wants in his justice. You know what I mean? And like we can't just decide based on what is comfortable for us in terms of what hell is, and neither can we do that with the Trinity. Is it a mind-shattering concept? Does it make our brains hurt? I was talking to a student about this the other day, and he's like, can I just not? Like that's how much it bothered him in his OCD. He was like, can I just not think about it this way? Because I can't reconcile it. And we talked about some of these things and why it's so important. And I would say, just trust the Lord with it, you know? Right. Like,
And to me, like, hearing, as bizarre as it may seem to us, hearing some of these explanations to try and go around it, are even more bizarre.
Oh, yeah, for
when
sure.
When you read the Bible, right? There's just, like, you have to stretch really, really far to try and make anything else work.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we gave two examples, the crucifixion and the resurrection, and the fact that God is love. That's the core of the gospel message. Mm-hmm. That is why we are Christians. And neither of them work without the Trinity.
Yeah, you
they
have
completely
to have,
fall apart.
You have to have the Trinity if you want a gospel.
So, still confusing, still a lot to wrap our minds around, but really the goal of this episode is to help you see why it's important.
Yeah, and I would recommend a quick book. Very short book, very concise book, very easy to understand book. It's called Delighting in the Trinity by Michael Reeves. It's not a book that explains the Trinity, because that would be a very complicated book. But this book is more about how we can, why we should take the Trinity seriously, and how we could actually delight in knowing about the Trinity. Like, it's actually, it brings us joy to know that God is three persons. And so that, it's a very quick book, delighting in the Trinity. Highly recommend it.
Nice.
Do you have any resources you want to recommend?
No, I want to read that book.
It's a good book.
Okay, well, we are going to continue this discussion on God, the nature of God, and his characteristics moving forward in the next several episodes. This is the new section we're in. We're excited about it, and we hope that you join us again next week for Theology Thursday.
Yeet.
As always, thank you for listening to Theology Thursday. You can find old episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the Google Play Store, YouTube, and Podbean. You can send questions that you want us to answer on the show to TheologyThursdayPodcast@gmail.com, and you can also find us on Instagram and Facebook. We hope to have you back next Thursday.